the next case.
Kelly against Commonwealth,
You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I am Andrew Harding, counsel for Mr. Kelly. At this time, I will request 5 minutes of rebuttal. At some point in the next day or so, my computer is going to share information about me, whether I like it or not. It may be to my manufacturer advising that I turn it on. It may be things that I know or do not know about. This case revolves around the knowledge and the intent of David Kelly, not the knowledge and intent of the producers of the software that was used to convict him of possession of child pornography. There were a series
Could it possibly surround his understanding of what that software was capable of doing and his proceeding in the face of it?
It would. And if Your Honor looks at the federal cases, for especially Richardson, that are cited by the Commonwealth, they said the federal court specifically noted that Mr. Richardson had expertise in computer science. Giraldo was a little closer case, but they said that he was, quote, tech savvy. There is no indication, not even as to Mr. Kelly's education level in the record in that regard, besides the fact that he downloaded free software. And the key thing is, you'll note that on the record, that he downloaded the free software, as a lot of us do, because else we want something for free. The paid version, as testified by the Commonwealth's own witness at page 81 of the appendix, says that the paid version is, quote, more user-friendly. In other words, Mr. Kelly got that software for the same reason that I went to Mr. Emmert's blog yesterday, to get something for free. And unintentionally, he got into something a little bit more than just looking at a blog post in that regard.
Well, but isn't it established in this case that the files he downloaded were on a, quote, shared folder located on his desktop?
Yes.
And so he certainly understood what shared means.
He saw a default folder that said my shared folder. He did not type out my shared folder. That's what the folder said. The manufacturer did that. And I would concede that my shared folder causes some degree of suspicion. The question that is not answered in the record, and I forgot what page it is, but Special Agent Bowyer conceded that he had no idea what else was on the desktop. My desktop, my personality, has only a handful of things. If you see 6 things on your desktop, you can pick out what those are. There's no indication whether it was jumbled, whether it was a subset within a folder or whatnot. The key thing, though, your notes, is that, again, it was a default setting that put it on the desktop. There was a dialog box that said, where would you like to put my shared folders? And if you clicked yes, it was desktop, but then you have some alternatives to choose from. And as a lot of us do when we download software, never done a peer-to-peer, and never will after this case, is that when we download software, they have a default thing. Click yes, click yes, click yes.
But having clicked yes, he has some understanding what yes means when he does that. I mean, the fact that they put a default on your desktop as opposed to your C drive or your L drive or whatever you call your drive seems to me begs the question. Wherever he put it, did he know that's what it was?
I think it depends on what you mean by no. For example, when I start a new computer, there are a handful of default questions they ask. Do you want to share unreported data for fixing your software? But most of those, and as I said, the average person, even a decent enough lawyer, oftentimes clicks through them at warp speed in that regard, unless it directly affects them in that regard. That is very common behavior. And
my question goes beyond that. I agree with you. It's common behavior. I do the same thing. And I don't. If I mess up a computer, I have to get people to help me fix it. So I do at least I can to make those decisions hard. And default sounds great to me. That's not the question I'm asking. after having chosen default, did he in fact know that that was a, whether he knew it by name, did he know it by function to be a peer-to-peer sharing program?
He knew it was a peer-to-peer network. That begs the question, what is a peer-to-peer network? Some peer-to-peer networks, and there's ample evidence on the record in general, some peer-to-peer networks say, thou shalt share with the world, or else you're not downloading this. ARIES, the particular program that it had, may or may not, but again, in this case, the default setting was sharing with the world, and there's no indication that he knew that that was the alternative. As I said, most times when we download software, it's to get the free version, a free version that, by the Commonwealth's own expert, is less user-friendly than a paid version in that regard. I would acknowledge that there is a difference between seeing in your face my shared file, which is some minor indicia, I'll use an example of drug distribution just in a moment. Some indicia. But the larger issue is, did he know that it was going to be shared? And that was not a dialogue box. That was not any sort of thing besides some under-the-table default setting in that regard.
But he was putting things in the folder, right? I mean, he knew he was doing that.
I believe the whole function of my shared folder is it is the, in effect, mailbox, the receiving mailbox in a peer-to-peer network.
So he knew things were in there?
Yes.
And he went in there to look at them?
I think there was ambiguity by the Commonwealth whether or not those had been viewed. The expert for the defense testified, I don't have the citation, but there was some cross-examination by defense counsel of Investigator O'Neill, not Investigator Boyer, but Investigator O'Neill, of is there any indication that those 10 files had been viewed? And he said they could have, they could not have, I can't say by the forensic evaluation. Defense experts said there is no indication that they had been viewed yet. In other words, there's no doubt he typed in some searches on the internet that convict him of possession. And I'm not going to share what his search terms were, but he's guilty of that part. By doing those search terms, he got those files in his computer. The two distribution charges were from that file that gathered things out from the hinterland into that file. And then Special Agent Boyer went looking for a particular identifier of those things, and because of those default settings, because of those automatic actions that are the heart of this appeal, they were shared with Special Agent Boyer.
The Court of Appeals opinion even says the jury could reasonably conclude that appellant intended to distribute because he downloaded program one, which you don't contest. But then, two, leaving the videos in a shared folder accessible to other users. So your point is that's not an action he took. I mean, that would require him to do something. And, in fact, the next part of their conclusion is, and choosing not to change default settings that allowed those videos to be shared. So your point is the crime here and the sufficiency of the evidence is based on him not taking action with regard to changing the default setting and choosing and leaving them in the folder that he downloaded them. I assume he could only download them to that one. I mean, in order to download them, you have to download them from this shared.
Yes, once they're in the My Shared file, he could have taken them and put it into My Favorites or Lord knows what other term he wants. But I think a good analogy that I could think of is that ever-present email I get and many others get saying, sent from my iPhone. And finally I got sick of seeing those, so I had to go back underneath and change the settings to stop that thing saying, sent from my iPhone. Now use the example, if you had never received an email that said, sent from my iPhone, would you know that your emails, if you have an iPhone, of course, say those? And that's a very comparable example. Unless and until you receive an email saying, sent from my iPhone, or now sent from my Samsung Galaxy, and Lord knows what else, that marketing thing, you're never going to know that the stuff you're sending out says that, to change that default setting.
But if you're... Go ahead.
Well, except that there was evidence that he knew that that's exactly what this program does.
He knew that it was a way to receive, that it was a way to get information from the outside. I'm not sure if there was any indication as to whether that whether it was going to be sent out.
But if he's familiar with file sharing, that's the whole concept. You get it from the outside, and it's sent out from you to other people in the outside, so it proliferates in that fashion, correct?
Now that I've read a rather lengthy report from the U.S. Sentencing Commission and Sciarrolo and Richardson, I can say yes.
Okay. So if he's familiar with file sharing, which Investigator Miller says that this gentleman said he was, and he's specifically familiar with this particular file sharing, ARES, why wouldn't the trial court and the Court of Appeals be correct that there's sufficient information to know that he's familiar, that once I put it on this file on my desktop, anyone else gets it from there, it goes out to others?
I think it depends on what you mean by he is familiar with file sharing. He's familiar with the concept of I put in a request and I get things in, but for the very reason that he normally would not do something like this, or there's no indication that he commonly does it, he is not in the sending out part of that equation. Certainly now that we have exhaustively looked at the nuances of peer-to-peer, we can say that's the quid pro quo, but there's no evidence on the record that he knew that that particular quid pro quo was going on in this particular case. I believe I have 3.5 minutes.
Yes, you do.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, John Blanton. I represent the Commonwealth in this appeal. There are a couple of points I'd like to make. Specifically, first off, ARES that was downloaded is a peer-to-peer file sharing program. It allows a user to access a network of computers that all have the same software on them. The network is the world of those computers. When it shares information about what's in that shared directory, it's only to those other computers in the network. It is not to the world. So it is when you download it, it tells you it's a peer-to-peer file sharing system. And if you look at page 83, I believe it's page 83 of the appendix, in Investigator Morris's testimony, the user agreement states that it's open source, anybody can use it, and that you're sharing with peers. That's part of the user agreement. He knew it from the user agreement. And if you look at page 114 of the appendix, and I apologize because I didn't catch this portion of the appendix at the beginning when I wrote my brief. At the very bottom of the page, did he indicate what, if anything, he used ARES for? Yes, he stated he used it for music. Did he explain to you how it worked at that time? Yes, he did. He told the investigators he knew how it worked. Right there you have enough to show that he knew what was going on. In general, though, the evidence was more than sufficient to show he had knowledge of computers, he had downloaded and installed the software himself, he had two computers at his house, he had a wireless internet network set up within his house with security set up for it. He was familiar enough with computers to know how this information worked. And when he talked to the police, if you go to the page, top of page 115, did you ask him where his files were stored that he got using ARES? Yes, they were stored on a shared folder, not the shared folder. He's talking about a shared folder in general. He knew that it was going into a folder that was shared. If you set up a network in your house, if you link together computers, you can share directories. They're available, and directories or folders, I use them interchangeably, but they're available to anybody else on that network. Anybody who sets up a network is going to see that when I say my downloads are available to anybody else in my family on that network, they can see what's in my downloads. And he knew exactly what was going on when he downloaded these.
Did he acknowledge that other people were getting music files from him?
He never acknowledged that anybody was getting, that I'm aware of, I don't believe he acknowledged, that anybody was getting files from him. But he did say that he knew how the system worked.
Yeah, I don't see it here, but I guess I ought to ask anyway. Whenever you download a program of any sort, there's always something that is in little tiny print, and it goes on for pages and pages, and it says, yes, I agree to I understand this, and I agree to it. Is that in this case, too?
That was what I was reading from on page 83. That's that user agreement, and I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a little box, and it's got a scroll bar, and it's got click here to continue on, and I'll be honest with you, I have an extensive background in computers, and I look at the first couple of words, and I click continue.
Yeah.
But it's an agreement that I've checked off, that I agree to their terms. It's a user agreement, and I check that at my own risk when I don't read it.
So you don't say that alone is sufficient, but that's just part of the facts that you have.
That's part of the facts, but I think that his statement that he knew how it worked, I think that ends it right there, to be honest with you. And I wish I'd seen that to put it in the brief, and I apologize. But I think I saw that he said that he used it for music, and that question followed right after. I wasn't looking at the music part.
Well, there on page 84 is a question asked him. Slide 7, are you able to manipulate the settings on errors as far as what your computer will send to others versus what you are going to be getting from other computers? Answer, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All of the peer-to-peer sharing, you can turn it off. You can say, I don't want to share. And it lowers your priority for downloading whatever files you're downloading from the other users on the network. These systems are designed to facilitate sharing. If you go to a swap meet and you don't want to have anything to swap, people don't want to swap with you. If you can have a download system based upon people sharing these, and this all technology of this sort devolves from Napster. I'm sure most of you remember hearing about Napster in the 90s and the early 2000s. But if you're just taking stuff in, you're not going to have as high a priority. It does not disable you from using the system. You can still use it. You just have a low priority. It takes longer to download the file. If you download Cree software now, you might notice it says 5 minutes for broadband, 14 minutes for DSL, forever for a dial-up modem. It's the same sort of thing. You pay for the broadband, you get the bigger pipe. It's the same thing. But I think in this case, when you've got someone who's using this peer-to-peer software system and he knows how it works and will prove without a question that he took two files, the two files were downloaded from his computer, he's guilty of distribution. We ask that you affirm the decision of the courts below.
All right. Rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll start with the provision on page 114 that was pointed out by the Commonwealth. Did he explain to you how it worked at that time? Yes, he did. I can explain how this or that program works, but apparently both Mr. Blanton and I are subject to some form of arbitration from Palo Alto. That is, both of us may know how to work a computer system, yet that does not indicate we know all of the consequences in that regard. And that is the key point of this case. Mr. Kelly, no doubt, knew. He types in not-so-pleasant terms, and he gets files in. He got a free program that was not as user-friendly, and hence there was a premium on that. But there's limited information that he knew that it was going to share it out without his volition. That's similar to the citation from the record later on about he put it in a shared file. Doesn't say which shared file. It could be the My Shared File that is the heart of the appeal that Your Honor raised. Yes, he saw a file saying My Shared Files. They are shared to him, but the heart of this appeal is whether he consciously, in the phrase of, was it Schiabato, the federal case, consciously is the phrase they use, consciously knew that by sharing it in, he was sharing it out in that regard, especially when he has a boilerplate user agreement, especially when it's a default.
But you don't contest that the program he was downloading was inherently designed to facilitate the sharing of files, and he knew that. I mean, do you contest that?
forgive me, it depends on what your definition of shared is. Shared in, he saw that from his own experience. Shared out, he knew that some people I'm using the term generically, world, that is other people on the network, were sharing files.
So you're saying he didn't know like you would on Xbox when you're talking to all your buddies while you're playing the game.
That's a perfect example, that where you have that one-on-one connection. I'm on a listserv with defense attorneys. Hey, can I get a pleading? Sure, here's a pleading. I have that direct knowledge. I get that back and forth in that regard, as opposed to search term whatever, which is in this particular case. It, like I said, it depends on what your definition of shared is. Shared in does not necessarily mean shared out, especially when he is using a free program and just trying, as we often do on the internet, getting something for nothing. So I thank the court for its time.
Thank you very much. Call the next case.